Welcome to another season of the Todos Mathematics for All podcast. This is it, everyone, kicking off season two, bringing you more critical discussions on mathematics education, equity, social justice, and anti-racism with diverse voices across the mathematics education landscape. We're so happy to be returning this season. This year, we wanted to recognize how different the school year is from years past, both in the sense of the ongoing viral pandemic and the continued struggle in the streets for Black lives, that struggle that's going to continue on into the classroom, even in our virtual landscape. Part of recognizing what's going on in schools for us here at Todos is to turn to our teachers, to engage in some real talk with teachers, teachers who are our colleagues, former students of ours, mentor teachers we work with. These are people we love, people we're honored to know. And as you know, people who live in communities with variations in internet access, or como decimos en mi familia, el wifi. And you're actually going to hear that in some of the interviews because the audio quality is a little bit varied. From Northern California to Southern California to Salt Lake City, Utah, Santa Fe, New Mexico, Fairfax, Virginia, Todos reached out to our teacher colleagues for interviews and recordings of what their fears, worries, hopes, dreams, and well, really whatever they're feeling, all of it to tell us and let us listen and lean in. We hope that the five teachers we feature here who share their stories in English and in Spanish help you feel grounded, give you insight, help you feel seen teachers, help you feel a little bit supported parents. Well, we really hope you feel all the feelings, really. We wanted to give the words of each teacher proper space and respect, so we ultimately decided to make this episode in two parts. In this one, part one, you'll hear three teachers share their perspectives on what is going on with preparation for distance learning, which all of their school districts were preparing for at the time. They all happen to be high school teachers, veteran teachers of many years, with many, many collective years of experience between them. Myself and Diana Ceja, who's also a Todos board member, interviewed two of these teachers, and one teacher submitted her own recording. Recordings were made in the last 2 weeks of August, I would say into the first week of September. Part two, which will be the episode following this one, features two elementary school teachers, and most of that episode will be in Spanish. We still encourage everyone to listen. We're going to also provide, hopefully, as soon as our volunteers can get to it, translated transcriptions that we'll make available shortly after the release of that episode. So please, immerse yourself in the words of the teachers, even if you are not fluent in Spanish. Part two is next in the queue. But let's go ahead and get started with part one. Without further delay, let's tune in, take in, and take heart with what our experienced, thoughtful, and strong teachers are thinking about as they start this new year.
So hi, my name's Ana Miguel. I'm a high school math teacher in Desert Mirage High School in Thermal, California.
So Ana, what are your main concerns for this school year?
So for this school year, I mean, I have quite a bit, but I think one of my biggest concerns right now is my students. Like, as a teacher and as a school district and educational institution, that we are providing the access that they need for all the resources that is gonna allow them to be more successful in this virtual way of learning, you know, because it's all new. So that would be one. But the another one is, you know, I always kind of think about my students. The other one is just their well-being overall. You know, now that they're going to be at home 100% of the time, they're not going to be, you know, coming to school, and we're not going to be able to physically be with them. You know, that's my thing. Like, I want to incorporate and try to think of ways that I can support them mentally, and, you know, even like just providing continue providing resources that it was easier to give to them being in front of them now at a distance. And then there's one more, and even like I even think about the fact that my community, a lot of our students are, you know, on free or reduced lunch. So a lot of the meals that they get is depending on being able to go to school and, you know, get their meals there. But, you know, that, yes, we provide, you know, lunch times where they can come get their lunch. But if they don't have parents at home who can come and collect those, that's another main concern for me. This year, what I'm looking forward to is just being able to learn about, you know, this way of teaching, right? This new approach of virtual teaching. I honestly see it more as a challenge. I am trying to see it in a way where, like, I, as a teacher, need to adapt to the needs of my students and the times. And for me, it's like actually more of a, like, you know, let me take on this challenge and figure out what is it that I need to do to provide my students with the resources that they need. And so that's, you know, one thing that I'm looking forward. And I think it also has to do because, you know, I'm in my ninth year of teaching now. And I think I was getting to the point where I was questioning a little bit about, like, you know, me being in the classroom and if this is something that I want to continue doing. And so this actually is something that's now motivating me more to be able to continue and being in the classroom with my students, because, you know, it's kind of like a way of trying to, how do I put it? Like more motivating me to be able to see if I can adapt as a teacher to what's going on.
That's great. It's always good to have a challenge, right? And not become complacent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Anna, what are your hopes for your students and their families for this year?
I think one of the biggest things has always been you know, the consistency that our education system provides to some of our students. You know, that's just like us being able to continue to provide those things for them. You know, for example, like, you know, I know the schools always could try to reach out to our families and continue giving them, showing them resources and things that they need, you know, for like their well-being overall. And I think that we are kind of put in that space where we need to figure out how we can continue providing those resources for them, because you know, it's not going to be easy to just, you know, hold a parent workshop and just be able to do it in person where it's a little bit easier. But, you know, finding ways of, like, how can we provide these resources through, you know, Zoom and make sure that our parents have access to it. You know, that's the biggest thing, accessibility, that they can continue getting those resources. And, you know, and I think something else that, you know, another big thing is just, like, being able to stay healthy during this time, you know, with the pandemic going on and, you know, coming from our from the community that I'm in, a lot of my parents are, you know, in the, work in the fields, and, you know, they're considered essential workers. So they're out there, you know, day to day. And, you know, I could only imagine how some of our students feel that they have to see their parents, go out every day, to be able to, you know, to provide for their family. And, you know, that's kind of like a position that not a lot of us are put into, and our students are witnessing that for firsthand.
It's really tough. I think this is a time for communities to come together.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's really crazy. So about, like, some of your strong beliefs and about teaching students and about the community that you live in. And is there anything you want to say to your listeners?
Yes. So I always try to also see the bright side in things, and you know, even though I don't like this time, I do see this the time that we're going through as a time for us to stop and reflect on, you know, like as an individual, as an institution, whatever it may be that, you know, that we're doing, to just think about, you know, what are the important things? What are the things that really matter to us? And, you know, as a teacher, I focus on, like, you know, our curriculum is changing completely right now. You know, we have less time with our students. And so, you know, I am really thinking about, like, what are the things that they really need in order to be successful in life, you know? So it's like a time where I can reflect on those things and actually try it out and do things differently, because we know that, you know, at least in through math education, a lot of students, like minority students or students of color from low-income communities, have not been receiving the same access to, you know, rigorous curriculum. And, you know, as a teacher, I want to take this time to be able to reflect on my practices and, you know, encourage others to, other teachers around me to just think about what we're really doing, you know, as an educational institution for our students overall.
That's fabulous. That's fabulous.
My name is Lisette Sierra Garcia. I am a math teacher and I teach high school. So we are just going to be all online. So I work for Utah, and I'm working for the biggest district. We work in the Salt Lake District, so it's like the city. Mm-hmm. There have been a lot of outbreaks, especially for the students who live in a specific part of the neighborhood that get bused up here to the school. And that is one of the reasons why they opted to just do online. Everywhere else in Utah is doing the in-person. But I heard just yesterday that there were like 14 cases that showed up. So that district may close.
Oh, wow.
Because they opened, they started at school last Thursday or last Wednesday. Uh-huh. They gave us a week, one more week, so that we could prep, because... Yeah, yep. And I'll be teaching from my classroom because I got my smart board. I'm a math teacher.
Right.
And so, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, we're about like 3 weeks in our school district. Yeah.
I was teaching from home last spring. My house is not too big, and my husband is also working from home. Mm-hmm. And then I live with my mother-in-law. So she's like tippy toes every time we're both in a meeting, and it's kind of... It's a little bit, right, upsetting for her. And so I asked if I could be in my classroom. I know several of us are going to be up here, but again, it's just us. And then they get to sanitize every afternoon. Oh, wow. Like, I'm comfortable. We come in and walk out with our masks. What are my main concerns? My main concerns is how I can build relationship with my students virtually. I think this is my coming into my seventh year teaching. And so I used to teach at a middle school, and I have had an opportunity to actually see my first graduating class 2 years ago. So what I'm saying that is I had students from my middle school, because I taught eighth grade math, that got bused up here to their high school, go after school to my classroom. I offer after school tutorings forever. And so I would have students, freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors, come and join me. And so I think it's because we had that connection, right? We were able to build those connections in class in such a way that they were very comfortable making mistakes in my class, especially like in a math class, right? Feeling comfortable to not say, oh, I don't get this, or I'm not a math person, versus, oh, I can do this and I just need to learn. Having that different mindset, right? And so a lot of my kids would always come and be like, can you tell me? Because they knew... Sound magically, that's what I would always be like. There's no magic. You could do this on your own or with your teachers up there at ease, because I used to teach like down in the middle school that fit into the school. And so my main concern again is hoping that the students that I get this year I will be able to create those bonds that will follow us through till they finish. I teach freshmen and sophomores, so I feel like it's very important that students can find someone in the school that they can talk to no matter what. And my hope is that as we jump into virtually, I'm able to create those kinds of spaces. I want to say a little bit of more like a safe space or a challenge space where they feel like it's okay to talk about it. It may not be comfortable for everybody, but we can at least respect each other, right, in a community. Our school is very diverse, not as diverse as my middle school. So I know that a lot of my middle school students coming up here may feel a little bit, not confused, but more like, I don't know, I'm going to go on. Not sense of belonging, right? Because their community, the school that they used to go, it was mainly minority students. And now this is a very mix of both and a little bit of, it's a little bit less, like not even like 50%, it's probably like 40 to 60. Mm-hmm. Because our students out there get bused into three different high schools up here. So I just want to make sure that we're able to provide those bridges that the students can feel success and feel like a sense of belonging here at a big high school. And that's what I'm a little bit concerned about, being able to find the right activities, the right way of asking questions. What I'm looking forward to is I'm really excited. I can't wait for Tuesday to start. I just can't wait to see my kids' faces in the computer. I've missed a lot. Like, again, going back to it, I'm a very interactive teacher. One of the things I do in my classroom every day is I stand at the door and I handshake my students' name as they come in. And I said their names, pull their names, and then, you know, I check in with them. In the same way, as they step out, I also stand them in the door and I shake their hands. They hate it a little bit because they're like, I don't want to wait. But then they get used to it and they expect me. And I have students just line up at the door as if they were kindergartens and they're just waiting for me to shake their hands. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to, despite the fact that we were not physically going to be shaking hands, I'm going to be able to say hi to them. And I just miss my students. I don't know. My hope, that's very fun. My hope is that all of my students will find an adult they can access and they can feel good about reaching out to them, especially those that need the support. And I'm not saying that others don't need the support, but I feel like, for example, a small anecdote, I just reached out to one of my students. She's an ELL student who's just joining this year. She has no idea how to use a computer. So like, how do we even want them to be online if they can't even, they don't know how to interact with a computer? Very basic, like turn it on, go to your file. I don't know. Right.
Right.
So we have a couple of hubs that are going to be running a Thursday class for students like hers. But I'm really hopeful that my families and my students will not feel overwhelmed, will not give up, and will find some human that can help them. I'm hoping that I can be that human, mm-hmm. but as long as I can, I'm able to connect with them. So right. My hope is I can just reach out to everyone and show them how, somehow through an email, mm-hmm. that I'm that person that they can rely on. Mm-hmm. I just don't want to lose any of my kids. I really don't want to. I want to see all my ninth graders graduate in 4 years, and I just don't want to miss anybody. I don't want anybody to slip through whatever the space there is, and a little crack that they can just go unnoticed for a while. And I just don't want to feel overwhelmed myself so that I can reach to them. My listeners, if you guys are all teachers, I say this to you guys, even though sometimes I have a hard time feeling, but in fact, I just had a couple of teachers with me today trying to work as distant as we could possibly be in my classroom, but trying to work together, is know that this is not the first time we've tackled difficult situations. I think everyone experienced their first year, and this is another first year, but at the same time, I feel teaching itself, it's an evolving career. We're always learning. And I am very afraid, and I'm not like, you know, I've only been teaching 7 years, but I still feel super old compared to what apps are using, students using, what technologies I need to be ready for. So just for all my teachers out there, We will get through this, right? We will get through this. I know it's hard to think about it, and I know we want to do so many things, but I think we must focus on one of the things to tackle every day. And I think if we focus on that thing, whatever it happened to be, whether it's a building up relations, staying connected, delivering an awesome activity that students can feel engaged, whatever it is, I think it will be, and as little as just a check-in, like a hi. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm overwhelmed, so I know you are too, and I will make mistakes. Can you help me out? And I think students react very differently when we're very sincere and, you know, let them know that we're struggling as well. Mm-hmm. And so feel free to make mistakes. Keep hope, you know, keep your hopes up that things will get better. And yeah, this is not the first time we're doing this. Yeah. For my parents, I don't know. Please be patient with us. Please trust us and know that we're working really hard. We really love those of us that are in this career, not for the money, obviously, but for the very essence of being a teacher and teaching and helping and you know, not even helping, more like serving as allies to our students. We will be there, and we'll try to watch their steps before they step into something, and we'll try to be there. Para mis padres, lo único que quiero decir es que nos tengan mucha paciencia. Es muy difícil. Yo no soy tan viejita, pero cuando yo fui a la escuela, nada de eso estaba sucediendo. Y sé que es muy complicado entender, sé que es muy complicado tener al niño en la computadora 6 horas al día, pero es la manera más segura que hemos podido elaborar los maestros para poder seguir enseñando. Sepa que hay muchos maestros como yo que estamos ansiosos de volverlos a ver, de estar con ellos, de convertirnos en sus aliados y poder juntos terminar este año escolar de la mejor manera.
My name is Siobhan Smith. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I teach at West Potomac High School for Fairfax County Public Schools. I am a mathematics teacher who has a background in specifically mathematics, special education, and students whose first language is not English. I'm also an equity lead at West Potomac High School. So I provide professional development and what I refer to as professional fulfillment in terms of cultural responsiveness and cultural decision, like responsive decision-making and equity for our West Potomac staff. In the Fairfax County Public School District, I am also the co-president of an employees organization called FCPS Pride, which advocates on behalf of LGBTQ plus staff, students, and families. Lastly, I am a board member in an organization called Fairfax Anti-Racist Minds, which advocates on behalf of all for anti-racist curriculum, instruction, and a resistance to systemic racism in our systems. All of who I am, all of my roles revolve around creating, making, inspiring, and maintaining these spaces that are safe, caring, and welcoming for our Fairfax County family. This includes our students, our staff, and the community that's involved with us. You know, with this new norm of COVID-19 and really these killings, these modern day lynchings of Black people, layered on top of the continuing need to close achievement and opportunity gaps, to get more representation of Black and Brown students in advanced classes. All of these things have been weighing heavily on my mind. You know, a double-edged pointy sword comes to mind, you know, to describe the precarious nature of where we are. COVID-19 has highlighted the inequities that impact our schools. People have lost jobs. People have scrambled to maintain and keep their housing. And this all directly impacts these kids, these students who I'm teaching and other people are teaching, who may not be able to feel safe without traditional schooling. Yet, we're having to look at the necessity of virtual learning because of the physical impacts of COVID-19. We're having to look at ways to navigate to ensure that our kids can acquire some semblance of that safety, that caring, that welcoming, and engagement. You know, at the end of the day, we're teachers, not just teachers, but we're teachers. I'm not just a teacher. But the long-term goal here is to get these kids to be able to successfully transition, you know, to life after high school. We can't do that if we ignore the reality of what's around us. And to be honest, I'm so ready to return to see my students, to meet these new children. They have been emailing me and reminding me, you know, what I have to look forward to and what I need to do to be at my best and be prepared to meet them where they're at so that I can help them navigate the negative impacts of COVID-19 and racism and homophobia and all these isms. I look forward to being back in the classroom with them, even if it's virtual, which it is. Working with them with math and computer science, I look forward to meeting and greeting my GSA students at the school. I look forward to my Math Honor Society students. I look forward to meeting with the equity team students. And while it might not be what it was, my hope is that it's better than it has been for them and for me. I look forward to building a sense of community with these children and their families, because to be honest, this is where it's at. The thing about being in a virtual world, you know, teaching, is that it cuts down on all of the travel time. It affords you time to be in places that you need to be in, ways that I just have not been able to do before now. So while this is might not be the best space and place, I am going to take advantage of what virtual offers. I am going to continue to teach math, do the things that I do best. I'm going to continue to champion anti-racism, push back against homophobia, transphobia. I mean, to be honest, like, I'm always going to try to dispel the myth that math is hard. And just to sum it all up, like, I'm just always going to, and I'm looking forward to just create those spaces that are safe, caring, and welcoming for these children. Thank you for listening to me today.
Heard from high school math teachers Ana Miguel in conversation with Todos board member Diana Ceja, Lisette Sierra in conversation with myself, and a recording from teacher Siobhan Smith. Thank you, Ana, Lisette, and Siobhan. We are hoping for the best for you and your families and your students this year. The Todos podcast is a production of Todos Mathematics for All. You have a story you'd like to share with us? Please reach out, teachers, to podcast@todos-math.org. That is, email me at podcast@todos-math.org. Music as always by Vector Hold, our Bay Area synthwave artist. And be sure you listen back for part two of our Voices from Teachers. Until next time, seguimos luchando. Adios.